Hi, this is Sam Lagana with the Los Angeles Rams. Whose house? You're listening to the Los Angeles Rams UK podcast. Undenied worldwide. The Los Angeles Rams. It doesn't get any better than this. Let's go Rams.
Hello and welcome to episode 52 of the Los Angeles Rams UK podcast. We missed the start of the season, so we're going to talk about week one, the game versus the Bears. And with me this evening is Aaron. Good evening, Aaron. How are you?
I'm doing well, Tony. Good to be back.
Good to be talking to you again. And as a new introduction to the team, but long-standing member of the team, we also have Tom joining us this evening. Good evening, Tom.
Hi, Tony. How you doing?
Very well. Yourself?
Yeah, great. Thank you. Yeah.
Excellent. With it being your first time on the podcast today, I wonder if you'd want to give just a little bit of background of where you are, who you are, and how you come to be on the team.
Yeah, sure. Based in Essex, just a little bit outside of London. I've been following the Rams since about 2002. A bit of a strange story how I ended up following, but essentially turned on a game on Sky Sports about 10 o'clock in the morning one Sunday. Must have been a repeat, obviously, but they were playing the Falcons from the 2001 season. They won the game and I decided to support them from then on, but obviously missed all the good times with the Super Bowls starting in 2002, so we had, you know, several years of hurt to go through before getting back to where we are now. So yeah, that's a little bit about me. Also, I used to play a little bit of football locally for a team in Essex for about 5-6 years, mainly playing as a defensive back and so corner or safety.
Excellent. So I think a lot of our listeners from Twitter will know a lot of your tweets and hopefully be following you. But what's your handle on Twitter?
It's at TL underscore. That's a good question, actually. I might have to do. I can't remember what it is.
we'll do that at the end then. And
let me have a quick look. I changed it too many times. That's the problem. At TL LA Rams. There we go. Yeah, I'll go over that again.
It's got a rather intimidating staring you down the barrel of a gun profile picture in his Rams cap.
It's the only one I've got with me, some new Rams gear on, so it's the only one I can use, unfortunately.
I still haven't got any of the since I got burned, and I will say it again, with the Goff jersey. Well, I haven't actually bought any more gear, but we'll get on to that. But the jersey they wore in the last game, I'm gonna have to purchase, I think.
It's my birthday at the end of September, so that's what I've asked for.
Yeah, hopefully you haven't got to wait a couple of months for it, but
yeah.
Sounds good. So obviously we're coming off the back of a home game with fans at SoFi. I thought the atmosphere was pretty good. It came across really well on Game Pass at 1:30 in the morning on Monday morning. But obviously we came out of that with the win, 34-14. What were your general impressions on that, Tom?
You know, it felt like a comfortable win, but at the same time, obviously, that it was close for a fair bit of the game. I think, you know, there was times when the Rams could have put them away, especially in the red zone, but they didn't sort of manage to punch it in, so set up a few field goals. But I don't know about you, but I never felt really in danger of losing that game once they, you know, obviously that opening drive, that 67-yard touchdown to Van Jefferson. Mm-hmm. After that, I mean, having picked off Andy Dalton in the end zone, I sort of felt quite comfortable after that. So maybe that's me being a bit arrogant about it all. But the Bears never seemed to threaten the Rams with anything. It wasn't like they were getting long play after long play. You know, after the long, 40-odd-yard rush on the opening drive, I don't think they had any significant long plays after that that really sort of, you know, put us on our back or, you know, put us in a position where we were thinking, you know, we're going to struggle here. It was more a case of just, you know, finishing out the win more. That's what I felt like anyway.
Yeah, it did feel a lot like that to myself. Not that it felt confident all the time, but I think after that tipped ball interception, you know, quickly followed up by that massive ball down the field to Van Jefferson, it felt inevitable, I think, is a word I'm searching for.
Yeah, I agree. That's kind of how I felt about it. And I think, you know, after that, you know, I did initially think, oh, it's going to be a complete blowout. But obviously, they're probably still showing a bit of teething problems, having not played in pre-season, being the first game, especially with, you know, first game with Matthew Stafford at QB.
Mm-hmm.
So although he obviously played, you know, had a great game, you know, I did sort of think, oh, he's going to go completely wild here. You know, he had that long pass on the opening, opening drive. So, but obviously it sort of came, to, you know, not, you know, all the way back down to earth, but it leveled out a little bit to be a bit more reasonable in the sense of expectations, I think.
Yeah, no, it did feel really good, and it felt like a competent performance, considering that not a single one of the players that played on Monday evening, Monday morning for us, Sunday evening for our American listeners, had played a single snap of the preseason. Is that right?
Mostly. I think, you know, there was a few, some of the people who contributed a fair bit on the defense, like, you know, I think David Long, who got the interception on the opening drive. I think he played a little bit in preseason. And then when he went out with cramps later in the game, Robert Rochelle, the rookie, who, you know, he did miss some time with his wrist injury, but, you know, he did play a little bit in preseason. And then I think there was a few guys maybe dotted around,
right,
that got a little bit of game time. But for the most part, you know, you sort of normal starters, your main 11 on each side of the ball, clearly weren't, you know, playing at all. I don't think they took a single snap for the most part. So,
no.
You know, and we did see that a little bit on, you know, that long run that the Bears had on the opening drive, I think came from a bit of that rustiness.
Uh-huh.
But I think that was a bit of a kick to knock the rust off and sort of, you know, get their heads right in the game and make sure that that sort of thing never happened again. And obviously it didn't happen after that. So it was I think they settled into the game pretty quickly, given that there were no sort of preseason snaps.
Yeah, excellent. Aaron, what were your general impressions of the game? How much did you enjoy it? Were you watching it live?
Well, so many questions. I didn't watch it live. I don't know if I could do that anymore, unless it's like further on in the season. You know what I mean? It feels, I know every game counts, but if it's like playoffs or getting you into the playoffs, it feels like something I could lose sleep over, let's say. And it wasn't anything to do with thinking it was going to be an easy win, because whenever I thought that, we'd go and lose it. That's what normally seems to happen. But no, I watched it the next day, so it's not as enjoyable, because you can't hide away from scores these days. You know, you get pinged or you forget to turn the scores off or whatever it is. So I watched it the full game, not just highlights. Yeah, it was good. I think, like you guys have said, it was maybe it is a bit of arrogance, but I think that's backed off of us keeping, you know, some core offensive players, core defensive players, and, you know, gaining Stafford, who is someone who just reeks of confidence and, you know, got the swag as well, obviously, and the experience. So with him at the helm, it sort of, it gave you that confidence to not fret over it too much, really. But it was good. Some of the things that you've mentioned already about them getting back in, I've heard the commentators mentioning that the Rams seem to be just giving them short yardage constantly. So, for example, Wentz, I think, had he had over 300 yards, I believe, in the passing game. But that was maybe a bit later, or just a little short yardage, just adding up, really. So, yeah, they sort of had a game plan, keep it in front of them, and it seemed to work. And I know it's easy to say that, well, if we didn't get those big plays, it had been a lot closer. But, yeah, we did. So that's part of the game. Indeed. So, yeah. No, it was enjoyable to watch. First game back, I can't say I honestly paid too much attention to pre-season. But now competitive football's back, I'm back.
Excellent. That's good to hear. So I've made a couple of notes about some of the standout players. But I mean, one thing I did want to mention was Johnny Hecker with one punt all game. Is that right? Did anybody else notice that?
Yeah, it was only the one punt, and it was after the... I think the Rams started deep in their own territory, and then they took a sack and a delay a game, and, you know, it took the old standard, you know, mm-hmm. Sean McVay screen pass type of thing on a third down to get a bit of yardage to get away from the end zone. But yeah, that was the only punt that I can recall.
Yeah,
and I think every other drive was, you know, points, I think, or the end of the half. So that's, you know, pretty good going. But
the trials, I say, did you say it came off of a dreaded screen pass play? That we never seem to achieve, but McVay always goes back. I'm sure there's a coaching reason or strategy behind doing it, and then, you know, they think it's going to come another time and you do something else. But it's just
they got one later in the game. They got one later in the game with Cooper Kupp with, you know, I think it was 3rd and 13, managed to sort of make about 5 Bears miss just enough to pick up the first down there. So, but, you know, I think in those instances, it's, you know, the pin deep, it's more of a give up drive there because you want to save face and not, you know, be too aggressive and end up making a stupid mistake. Because I think at the time it was still a relatively close game. So you don't want to be messing around, you know, with field position. Because, I mean, like you said before, I think the Bears, although they didn't have any massive plays, they were, you know, plodding down the field, I would say, you know, moving the ball a little bit. So if they can get into field goal range a few times and you're making mistakes, then they could end up, you know, taking the lead or anything like that. So it's still good to play the field position game and not try and think that you can score from everywhere on the field sometimes.
And I see that they actually had 10 more minutes than us in possession, which normally bucks the trend of winning a game. But obviously that's some of our big splash plays that cut that down. I don't know how many seconds was taken off of that drive with Jefferson getting his touchdown, but it just shows you don't have to have all the possession to win a game.
No, indeed. And I think that's a good stat to be to bring into the fore there, Aaron. And I think one of the things that we discussed a few times last season was the fact that even though Aaron Donald is so dominant as a player for us, that a lot of the other defensive players don't seem to step up when he's been double and triple marked. But I think we've seen a sea change even in this first game. And I don't recall last season at all talking about Justin Hollins. But he had a great game. Was it 6 tackles, 2 assists, 2 sacks and a tackle for loss? And I know, looking back, we acquired him in September 2020. But he seems to have grown into that role, and he looks like one of the players that's going to stand up for us. But I mean, looking at the top 3 players on the defense, Jalen Ramsey had 7 tackles, 2 assists. Jordan Fuller had 6 tackles, 5 assists. You know, it's looking as though other players on the defense are going to step up when Aaron Donald gets the spotlight from people. Any thoughts on that, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, you're completely right. I mean, Justin Hollins, yeah, he came over late, you know, late into the game, so to speak, last year. I think it was a waiver claim you know, a pickup just after initial cuts on the roster cut down. But obviously it took a while for him to get into the lineup. And then you saw it happening in the playoffs when Samson Abukam, you know, he started the season sort of playing 70-75% of the snaps outside linebacker. And that drops down to sort of like 20-25%, maybe even less than that in the playoffs against the Seahawks and the Packers with Hollins and Lewis and you know, Oboe Okoronkwo, you know, picking up the slack there and filling in those gaps. But Okoronkwo was out this week. You know, Terrell Lewis is still sort of battling that injury that no one really from the Rams actually sort of mentions most of the time, but he's obviously clearly a bit you know, hobbled in when it comes to actually you know, taking meaningful snaps. I think he's only around 20-25% of the snaps. So, you know, Hollins had about 75% of the snaps this week, which is, you know, we haven't seen that really from another outside linebacker for a while, apart from early in the season with Samson Abukam last year, apart from obviously Leonard Floyd on the other side. The problem was this week was that the Bears, they obviously had a game plan to get the ball out really quickly. They just, you know, there was short passes all over the field. They didn't try and throw it long, apart from instances on sort of fourth down when they were trying to convert and when they were in desperation mode. And it was actually, you know, the Rams only had 3 sacks. 2 of those came on fourth down when Dalton had to hold the ball for the routes to develop past that fourth down marker. And the other sack came on a sort of a broken play where the Rams sort of sniffed out the attempted pass out of the backfield to Damian Williams. Robert Rochelle played it really nicely, and Dalton was going to throw it out there, but was thinking about it might get picked off or something like that. So he held the ball, and that's when you know, Donald broke through and should have probably sacked him, but Hollins was right there to pick up his second sack of the game. So you're right, Tony. It's good to see someone finishing off those things where normally, you know, if Donald gets blocked or, you know, gets out, the QB gets out of his grasp, then there's not always someone there to wrap him up in it. But we have seen it last season with Leonard Floyd and, you know, from Sunday with Justin Hollins. It was a little bit disappointing to see Floyd not do a little bit more in that sense this week. But I think the Bears' game plan was to try and nullify that pass rush as much as possible, dink and dunk it down the field, not put them in a position where they could get sacked. But to come out of that with three sacks, given that they had three sacks and I think they had three passes more than 10 yards in the whole game. So it shows the kind of offense that they were trying to run at the time.
And it just shows you, I mean, obviously it works both ways, doesn't it? If our offense is working, it forces them into those situations where they have to do fourth downs and et cetera to keep the game alive, which then puts our defense in a great situation.
Yeah.
And there's just a stat that's popped into my head. I believe this is correct, but I can't remember who did it. But we managed to sack Andy Dalton within 2.67 seconds of the snap. I want to say it was Justin Hollins who managed that, but I'm not going to put any money on that. Does anybody else remember that stat being picked up during the game?
Was that a commentator that said it or something?
Yeah, I'm sure it was a commentator said it during the game. Sacking 2.67 seconds.
No, I can't say I heard it. I mean, I'm sure it's doable. It must have just opened up for it.
I maybe just made all that up then, but I'm going to go back and check that at some point.
Yeah.
And I think the other standout performance that maybe didn't get any press really was Matt Gay. We've been looking for a competent kicker since Greg's airline left. And I know Matt Gay did really well last season, but he's picked that right up. You know, two field goals, the longest of 53, and, you know, it should be a given anyway, but all four extra points. I think we've got to feel pretty confident about that, haven't we, Aaron?
Yeah, I know there was, when Greg, before he left, it started going downhill a little bit, didn't it? And then we had a few different people come in and it just wasn't working out, some youngsters. And yeah, so he's settled in. It's something that's vital to have really in those close games, isn't it? So if you can have someone reliable, which Gay seems to be, can't complain there really.
Excellent. Any final thoughts on the week one game there, Tom?
Oh, just to mention on that Matt Gay point. I mean, obviously, the Bears' opening kickoff looked for a second like it might be going the distance after the returner sort of managed to evade the bulk of the Rams' coverage unit. But it was Matt Gay that sort of tracked him down and managed to hold him up a bit to stop him from getting too far downfield, which is, you know, not often that you see a kicker do a decent job on the coverage normally, as well. So
normally trip over before they get to him.
Well, Sean McVay said he was like the biggest kicker he's ever seen, or something like that. So,
well, I don't know. I'm trying to figure someone else who's proper fat.
I think it was Janikowski.
That's the Janikowski one. Yeah.
No, I think McVay actually meant, you know, in terms of muscles and things right. like that, not just beer guts or whatever.
He's just a guy. He's just one big fire.
Yeah. Deal. Thanks for that one, Aaron. I think what we didn't do really was wrap up the trades that happened pre-season. And obviously the big one was Matthew Stafford. But then the late-ish pickup was Sonny Michel, which was a necessity really with Cam Akers going out, we think, for the season, although looking at some videos this week, he seems to be making good progress in the gym. I've not missed any other trades, have I, Tom?
Can't think of any other ones off the top of it. Obviously, they're the major ones anyway.
Yeah.
The main ones we'll be concerned with going forward. So, no, I don't think so.
Excellent.
So I mean, on that note, I mean, obviously we had Akers being injured and Henderson's now, as McVay's come out after the game, said he's our number one back. He had a pretty good game, I think. And when he got a clear run through the line, he showed a burst of speed I didn't think I'd seen in him before. But, you know, he had a good game. I think the offensive line had a good game, holding off, you know, some of those defensive players like Mack and Hicks. You know, he got through. He got one sack, didn't he, Hicks?
Hicks and Quinn split a sack on Stafford. That was more Stafford holding the ball rather than it being a faulty defensive line.
got you. So yeah, exactly. So they had a great game. And on that note, I didn't realise how many ex-Rams actually played for.
Yeah,
there's a lot on there, isn't there?
Well, I mean, I don't mean to be mean to him, but I mean, Robert Quinn, he did have a half sack, but I don't remember seeing him do too much else. No. Alec Ogletree, he had a holding call. They didn't take it because it was on the Robert Woods touchdown in the end zone, and he didn't do too much else apart from get a, I think it was like a taunting penalty on Austin Corbett, who they had a bit of, you know, wrestle after a block, and then Corbett just sort of did the thing of just stood there while Ogletree stood. You know, I think Corbett was on the floor.
Wasn't he? Yeah,
yeah, and Ogletree stood over him, and then the Rams just went around and just completely ignored it while the Bears were drawing away, and it was a 15-yard penalty. So it was quite a good way of seeing it from the Rams. But then the other ex-Ram that was there was Marquis Christian. Mm. He was playing at nickelback, and he was the one who was at fault for the long Cooper Kupp touchdown. That was the reason that Kupp was wide open, was Christian just sort of stopped covering him midway through the play. So, like I say, there's probably a reason why they're ex-Rams.
Yeah.
I mean, I was quite sad to see Robert Quinn go. I thought he was a great player for us in St. Louis. And I've still got his jersey up in my...
Well, you're allowed to say that, please.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a Rams fan, you know. It's
no ties to a city, is there? So
careful, Tony. They won't let you back.
I'm sure they will. It was great to see the pictures from or the videos from Rams Empire actually pre-game, where there was flying our flag again in that. Well, it was very gusty conditions. It looked like, to be honest, for the tailgating. It was. I quite enjoyed that, seeing that before the game.
I was going to say, actually, when you mentioned about Matt Gay, have they mentioned this? I'm assuming, because it's open, isn't it? And they've got this middle section that runs around the whole stadium that's open as well. So I was wondering if any sort of, like, I don't know, wind could cause some sort of, I don't know, tunnel wind that goes through it that could affect the field goals. But has anyone known anything about that? If it's...
I don't know, but it's a good point, though, because obviously, like you say, I mean, the roof's over the top designed to... you know, keep the rain out and everything like that. But yeah, I mean, we've seen it before in some stadiums where you do get, you know, when they don't factor that in and they build a new stand or whatever, and you know, you get massive gusts of wind blowing through. I mean, I've seen it myself, you know, working in the city with the walkie-talkie building, you know, the one that sort of curved downwards. On a windy day, you walk in front of that, you get blown. No one can walk in front of it. You just get blown over. The wind just channels down and blows you through. So. Yeah, they must. I mean, the amount of money they spent on the stadium, you must imagine they've factored that into it. But it's a good point. It's not something that anyone's talked about before.
I think the thing in favour of that with the SoFi is that that gap in the stadium is actually just above ground level. But the field is actually, I think it's about 100 feet below ground level, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good point. It dips down like a bowl, doesn't it? So you might avoid it. But I'm just wondering where the ball's up in the air, going for a field goal, whether it'd have any effect, but we'll see. It might be in Matt Gay's favour if they built it in without that happening. So,
yeah, excellent. So I think that just about wraps up looking at the opening game of the season. And we did just about manage to do our season predictions before the games kicked off. And they are published on our website, larams.uk, for everybody to see how we progress through the season. Very tight on the predictions. Everybody's got 11-6 or 12-5. So really tight on that. But we did all have us winning the very first game of the season, which is good. I've been pessimistic and said we're going to lose at the Colts.
Yeah, so explain yourself, Tony.
I'd like to. I have no explanation apart from the fact I was looking for six losses.
Right, I've got a roll of dice. Which six am I going to pick?
You know, sometimes you sort of get I did anyway. I got a feel for what I thought the season was going to go like, and you work backwards from how many losses you need to rack up. And I put this as a road game on the East Coast, early kickoff in inverted commas. That's where I picked up, but everybody else seems pretty confident. So I'd be quite happy if I'm incorrect come this time next week. But Tom, you picked up 11-6 the same as me. And we picked a lot of the same games for the losses as well. But I mean, any thoughts where that 11-6 will get us in the division?
It's going to be a tough one. I mean, to be honest, I did the same as you. I think sort of picked a reasonable record and then went backwards from there. I didn't go through going, you know, oh, that's definitely going to be a win, that's definitely going to be a loss or anything like that. So, because I think I first looked at it and thinking, well, there's no reason why we can't go, you know, 14-3 or something like that. And I thought, no, we've got to tone it down a little bit. But, I mean, it's going to be a tough division, obviously. And I think you're probably going to look at all four teams potentially having 10 wins. It depends on, obviously, if the 49ers can escape the injury bug, which seems to be hitting them again. But it's a very tough division. And so 11-6, you know, you might be looking at, you could be looking at top, you could be looking at third place. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a very tough one. I think I'm hoping for more than 11-6. You know, it'd be good to be up there, top of the division, top of the NFC, you know, going for that first, you know, number one seed, home field advantage in the playoffs, that kind of thing. That's what you've got to be aiming for. But I think, you know, it's a long season, and I just didn't really know how to I didn't want to be too overconfident in the predictions, because, you know, although they have made the trade for Goff to Stafford, there was a few other moves, and because of the implications of the salary cap with that move, there were certain areas of the team that probably weren't be able to be improved enough. And we thought that, you know, maybe with the offensive line they needed to do some more work there, or, you know, some people were concerned about the inside linebacker spot and things like that. So, but at the end of the day, the thing that's the biggest concern will be just making sure that they stay healthy throughout the season. I think if the team does stay healthy, then I think 11-6 is probably the basement of where the Rams should be looking at the record in the long run.
There's a couple of points on that stay healthy one. When we went to the Super Bowl, our offensive line, was that the season our offensive line was stayed healthy pretty much the whole time?
I believe so. I can't remember for sure, but I'm pretty sure that it was like they missed only like a few snaps or things like that. And I think there might have been a bit at the start of the season when they were messing around with the right guard spot. I think
changing positions.
Yeah, a little bit with Austin Blythe and Jamon Brown at the time. But I think that settled down pretty quickly. And then after that, you know, I can't remember anyone missing significant time.
One thing we haven't mentioned, being the first episode of this season, is that the Super Bowl is actually in our stadium this year. And apart from, I think, last year, if I'm right, I think it's Tampa Bay, the first team to win it in their own stadium.
Yep.
So it'll be nice, wouldn't it?
not that we want to get ahead of ourselves at all, Aaron.
But, no, we were talking about stadiums, we're talking about records,
yeah,
Super Bowls. You know, it's just all of it together, really, Tony.
And it's been mentioned a few times, both by American commentators, and I think we've all got it in the back of our minds that wouldn't it be fantastic to play the Super Bowl in our home season, and wouldn't it be even more fantastic if we could actually win the thing as well.
Yeah.
Yes, that would be awesome. But I mean, Aaron, I think that comes back to you, really, to, you know, do you want to have a bit of a talk through how you predicted the very optimistic 12-5 season?
Well, this isn't optimistic compared to what I normally do, and I end up incredibly wrong normally. I did the opposite. I did what you guys said you don't do, and I went through going win-loss, and that's probably why I end up with a higher record normally. But I probably went with the usual suspects of I thought Bucks got Brady, you know, obviously won it last year. Packers, because, you know, Packers. Mm-hmm. Cardinals, just, you know, a couple of division losses. I've only gone for one division loss, sorry. And then the Ravens being the Ravens. So, I've just picked ones that probably most people might be tempted to, with no real surprises there.
Yeah, it's interesting that every single one of us has gone for a loss at the Packers, and every single one of us has gone for a loss at the Ravens as well.
I don't know why I picked Giants, to be honest with you, at this point, asking me now. I think it's one of those. There's always a dodgy game in there that happens, and I went with Giants.
Yeah, and Rams being Rams, that, you know, there's always a trip-up game in there where you expect them to win and they come away with the L instead.
Exactly.
Excellent. So, we've played the Bears an inordinate amount of times, 94 times over the years. But the Indianapolis Colts, we've played them 44. And the same as with the Bears, actually, the Colts have got the upper hand over us. We've won 19, they've won 23, and there's been two ties. So there is quite a bit of history between the two teams. I've got to be honest, I haven't watched the highlights of any other single game from week one. I do this most weeks, actually. I'm a Rams fan. I'm not always an NFL fan. I know that sounds really strange, but
which always comes helpful when we have to talk about the next game.
which is why I'm here in the chairing chair. I'm going to pass this hard ball straight to Tom and say, did you watch any of the Colts game this weekend?
I didn't. I had to admit, obviously, it being I think it was one of the early kickoffs, and the game I was watching was obviously Jared Goff's debut for the Detroit Lions against the Niners, to see, you know, how he fared, but also how the Niners might be, you know, being sort of another division team. But the one thing I did see was obviously the clips that have been doing the rounds on the internet. I don't know if you've seen them, about Shane Waldron, obviously our ex-QB coach and, you know, passing game coordinator, is now the offensive coordinator at Seattle. And he seems to have taken aspects of the Sean McVay offense over to Seattle, and that's what they ran against the Colts, and obviously they had some success with that. So hopefully that continues this week. But I think, you know, the Colts are a very tough team when it comes to the trenches. They've got a very good offensive line. The defensive line and the whole front seven's pretty good. But I think, you know, they've got Carson Wentz at quarterback, and I think we've seen in the past, and we saw last season, if you can get to him and get some pressure on him, which will be, you know, a concern with their offensive line being good. But, you know, we have got Aaron Donald at the end of the day. So hopefully we can do enough to cause him some problems.
Excellent. Anything to add, Aaron?
Yeah, only that I've tried to watch the highlights of it just to look for weaknesses, if you like. But I looked at, obviously, their stats as well on the game just to see how they got on. And what I brought up earlier about the possession, it was a very similar game to us, whereas Seahawks had about 10 minutes less than the Colts did. And it just showed you, similar to the Bears, that the Colts, given the time, weren't able to take advantage of that. So maybe the we might see a similar game that we played against the Bears against the Colts. Obviously, it takes pulling off some of those larger plays in order for you to carry on that way. But so that's one thing I noticed. Obviously, we know Wentz, he likes to get on the move. I did see him fumble and get sacked a few times. So he is vulnerable as ever. Just stats alone, I mentioned to you before the podcast, Tony, that he didn't look too bad on yardage, but apparently it's a lot of late, last-minute junk yards. The only concern really is, for me, it's just, as it feels like it's been for the last few years, it's just our run defense. It's just, if you can contain that, we're fortunate enough to have Aaron Donald up front and then Ramsey at the back to cover things now. So, but if the plan is just to give up short yardage and let them just keep doing that and, you know, wear themselves out, then it worked against the Bears. It might work against the Colts.
Excellent. Sounds good to me. So you're going to stick with the win?
Well, yes. Also, I saw that 10 NFL experts have all gone for us against the Colts. So,
kiss of death.
What do they know, eh?
So, Tom, I assume you're sticking with the win as well?
Yeah, I mean, I've not seen anything to change my mind from that. I mean, I'll probably be eating my words, you know, after Sunday if I say that now. But I think I'm pretty confident. I mean, it's one of these. It is one of these games where I sort of think, you know, we should win. So it's one of these ones where I'm also thinking, well, we might lose.
Excellent. That's what we like—a healthy dose of pessimism.
We are British, after all, so.
Indeed, excellent. So yeah, although I predicted the loss in our season predictions, I'm feeling a little bit more confident after week one and the style of the performance that we saw from the Rams. So that's our predictions for the week coming. Aaron, have you got an eye on the social media questions, Facebook and Twitter coming in?
Yes, I can do that.
Excellent.
Let's have a little look at. So we asked you guys on both Twitter and Facebook some questions, and let's see, there might be some opinions in there as well, which I'll read out. Jay Stodd, 25, is a regular. Now that we have a deep passing threat again, which of the receiving corps do you think will have the best season? And what are your thoughts on how the season will go for Van Jefferson now he has a QB to sling deep balls at him? I could have phrased that a bit better, but Tony?
Well, this is a silly question to ask me. Yeah, which wide receiver do you think I'm going to say is going to have the best season?
Yeah, the one that you have a pillow of in your bed.
Yes. That one indeed. I think it's going to be tough, to be honest. I can see Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp having really good seasons. You know, I hope they both go for 1,000 yards, get 10 touchdowns. That would be fantastic. But I mean, I think it'll be a game by game, and McVay will choose the wide receiver to get the most plays depending on what we're facing. I think we saw that Cooper Kupp got most of the plays this time. Who knows how that fits into the game plan for this Sunday. But I think now that we've got, can we say a gunslinger at quarterback?
I think you can.
I just did. It was very obvious that Stafford was looking for those deep balls a lot more in the game. So long may that continue.
Tom, thoughts?
Yeah, I think as Tony touched on it, it does depend, you know, sort of game to game on the game plan as to who the wide receiver will be that maybe sort of goes off, so to speak, that game. But I think that the main thing is that, you know, it's an unselfish group of wide receivers. They don't, you know, demand the ball. You know, they don't need to be fed, you know, 10 targets a game necessarily. You know, you see it in the way that they go out and block for all the run plays. And, you know, even on that long Van Jefferson touchdown, Cooper Kupp was blocking a man inside as part of the fake on that rollout. So it really will depend on the game plan on a per game basis, but I think throughout the season, as you said, Tony, you're expecting 1,000 yards and probably 10 TDs from the like of, you know, Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. As for the third wide receiver, I think it's probably going to be Van Jefferson most of the time, but you will see the Sean Jackson sprinkled in a fair bit, and I think that might be on a situational basis, you know, per game as well, depending on the defense they're playing. And, you know, they clearly want to use him as a deep threat, but he wasn't able to connect on get open for a few passes this game, but he did catch some stuff underneath. So I think it's going to be a mix on that third wide receiver spot. I don't think you'll see someone sort of in there necessarily, you know, 100% of the time. I think they'll mix it up. And obviously they'll go to situations where they won't even have a third wide receiver on the field. So,
I mean, they've always been that way, haven't they, for the last few years? You know, they have games where Woods will be over 100 yards, and then the next game it'll be a cup, you know, and then they mix it up evenly. There's no one, you know, star-studded wide receiver that gets all the attention all the time. And 2-2 Atwell, he's got a slight niggle, hasn't he, at the moment?
I think he has. I think he's okay, but I think it's just... you know, at the moment, who are you going to take off the field to put him on?
I just thought, because we only had one return, which Kupp did. I think they've said that 2-2 would be the guy to do it going forward.
Yeah, it was basically because it was deep in the Rams field where the punt would have been returned from. So I think, you know, obviously Cooper Kupp went out there and he just caught the ball for a fair catch, I think, at the sort of around the 15-yard line. And I think I think Sean McVay came out and said that it's a case of they wanted a safe pair of hands on the return, just to sort of, you know, make it safe rather than try and do too much with it. And I think if they would have had a punt at other times, it would have been 2-2 out there, you know, returning that ball. But it does worry me a little bit that they don't think that 2-2's safe enough hands to catch a pass.
Yeah, maybe they're trying to save him from first game, for, you know, one chance to do it, and then, you know, nerves get to him. Exactly, yeah. So that's Jay Stodd. Thanks, Jay Stodd. Then we've got Dazed Pinhead. He spelt head wrong, so maybe I'm pronouncing that wrong. Is the team squad in a better position now than when we reached the Super Bowl? So are we a better team, I guess, is what he's asking. Tom?
I mean, it's hard to say after 1 week, obviously. You could argue that the Super Bowl offensive line was stronger than the one we've got now, but obviously they've played, you know, they're in the top five according to Pro Football Focus after this week. So it's probably early days. I mean, it's going to come down to injuries as well. I mean, that team that went to the Super Bowl, they were missing Cooper Kupp. They had that injury to Todd Gurley late in the season where they had to bring in CJ Anderson. So I think they suffered a little bit in the long run. And although they still obviously made the Super Bowl, I think if you had a healthy Todd Gurley and a healthy Cooper Kupp, it's a completely different story. So I think that's going to be the key towards the end of the season. I think some people would sometimes get a bit too bogged down by, the inside linebacker group's not that great. Well, it doesn't matter in this defense at all. It's not important. So it's things like that. I don't think it's important. But I do think, obviously, you had one stud on defense with Aaron Donald at the time in 2018. You've now got two because Jalen Ramsey's just ridiculous. So in that sense, the team's improved when it comes to the sort of the top tier players. So you've got obviously Stafford on offense. The wide receivers are getting more attention for their play. And I think that there's more stars on defense, but I think you still have the solid players there as well.
Stuff. And then what I was going to say is that it sort of leads us on to another question. Andy Ladd, 701. Are you guys concerned at how easy at times Chicago could run the ball against us? And does it worry you for when we come up against really good run first teams, such as Titans, 49ers, that we will struggle to contain them? So based on your inside linebacker comment, Tom, is that generally speaking where the run is easier for people if you're inside linebackers? For someone who's played it, obviously a lot more... a lot more aware than I am, is that a position that is, if weak, it's easier to run up the middle, I take it?
Not necessarily, no. It depends completely on the defensive scheme, the run fits. So, I mean, in that sense, obviously, every defender on that front seven has a responsibility. And, you know, it's not just the inside linebacker's job to necessarily be the one to stop the run. You know, it requires the outside linebackers to contain the outside. Maybe obviously it depends on the play, and the defensive line to sort of get off their blocks and make a play if they can. Yeah. But I think Kenny Young had a really good game against the Bears. I mean, on that the long 41-yard run at the start of the game, he was on the far hash on sort of the other side of where the run was happening, and he outran the secondary to make the tackle to push Montgomery out of bounds. So I mean, that shows you the kind of athleticism that he's got there. At times the Rams came out with four down defensive linemen and Leonard Floyd stood up on one side. It's not a scheme that we've seen him run, you know, that often in the past. You know, they were clearly trying different things against the Bears when it comes to run defense and things like that. But no, I don't think having a weak inside linebacker means that you will be poor against the run. It all depends on how everyone does their job. And, you know, you could have the best inside linebacker in the world, but if the outside linebacker misses his contain, it goes for a 70-yard touchdown. So it doesn't matter, if you know what I mean. So, and on that initial, that long run at the start of the game, it was more a case of, I think it was Darius Williams and Jordan Fuller. They came up after the running back got past the line, and they had a chance to make the stop, but they both over pursued inside, and that's how he was able to cut outside and get down the sideline. Whereas if Williams came up the outside, it probably would have stopped it for maybe a 10-yard gain. So, but on the point of the run, the run defense, I think they only had two runs over 10 yards the whole game, and although they were picking up short chunks, you know, it wasn't like they were breaking 15, 20-yard runs continuously. So I don't think the run defense is that much of a concern. So, obviously it would be interesting to see how they do against the Colts with that, because they've got a good offensive line, and be interesting to see how they do.
So Tony, I guess, you don't have to give an empty answer, but are you concerned?
No, I'm not. I mean, I think Tom's covered a lot of it there. You know, Chicago tried to run the ball and it didn't work that well for them. So I think we've got a lot of room to grow into a better run defense team.
But it's natural, isn't it, to look for where we can improve. Yeah. And like you said about the inside linebackers, they're not necessarily, it's weak comparatively to having Donald and Ramsey and in other areas of the defense. But, you know, it doesn't mean they're necessarily weak if they go on other teams or whatnot. But
sure,
that will be it for Twitter.
Aaron, I just want to give a shout out to Rams Nation Argentina, actually. I've not seen them come onto our Twitter timeline before. I just want to say hi to them and thanks for contributing more than anything else.
Oh, that's a good point, actually, to see that. Yeah, so right now, as we could watch on Sunday night, defense against the running still our weak side. Obviously, we just talked about that. Is it impossible to improve it with the actual inside linebacker court, or should we look for a trade? I don't think anyone's talking about trading anything right now.
No.
You'll see how they get on further down the line. But like you say, it depends on, Tom says, on the scheme and if the outside are doing their job, etc. But yeah, shout out to Argentina. Right, so Facebook, it's Tony's stomping ground, where he's always fan bases. Michael Woods, which of the rookies are we most excited about and will have the greatest impact this season? Great to have you back, guys. Thanks, Michael. Tom?
It's hard to say with the rookies, obviously, because we don't have a first round pick in, we haven't had one for a while. But I think we saw it this weekend. Obviously, David Long went out with cramps for a little bit and Robert Rochelle came in to take his place. And it was a pretty seamless transition, which was quite good to see for a rookie corner playing, in his first NFL game. He had a really nice breakup on a fourth down pass against what people were saying was a guy that was going to threaten Jalen Ramsey and Darnell Mooney, but didn't really do anything the whole game. But I think Rochelle played nicely. I think it still remains to see what Tutu Atwell's contributions are going to be on the offense. And I think that's going to be something that we'll find out a bit more down the line rather than in the early stages of the season. So I think he could end up being a good contributor. But I think throughout the season, I think Rochelle's going to be a nice one.
I think during training camp, etc., you had people raving about Jacob Harris, the tight end, as well, as a solid receiver. But obviously, we haven't seen him in action yet. It's another one to look out for. Tony, any favourites there?
No, I mean, you've just stolen my thunder with that Jacob Harris. I'm going to play your line here, Aaron. Okay. But I think there was a lot of chat during the draft about Jacob Harris, to be honest. And I think a lot of people are quite excited about Jake Funk as well. But whether that's just putting him on the back of the jerseys or not is another matter. I think Tutu Atwell is the prime pick for making an impact this season. I'd like to be able to see what Jacob Harris does. But I think the rest of the team are ones for future seasons, and hopefully we've made solid picks and they'll come through during the season and actually make the contribution.
Okay, we'll do two more and then we'll wrap it up. So I've got Matthew Lynn Perkis. Given that the NFC West is stronger than ever, which team possesses the biggest threat to us topping the division, Tony?
Ah, that's so hard.
Again, it's week one, isn't it? It is
week one. You know, the first thought is always Seattle Seahawks. But it's no secret that I hate the San Francisco 49ers. So I would hate to lose the division to them. Cardinals look strong as well. You know, I mean, I watched some recap of the week one and they said, Cardinals may come last in the NFC West, but they'll be the strongest last place in the NFL. So I think it's completely open. It could go any which way, but I think probably Seattle.
Tom?
I'm going to give a really annoying answer and say that the biggest threat to the Rams finishing first in the division is the Rams themselves. Because I think, we've got a good record. I mean, the Cardinals, obviously, they should be improving from where they were, but the Rams have had their number for the last 3 years, I think it is, something like that. And I think the Niners is a different case now. You know, you like to think that having Stafford will make that, you know, push them over the edge there. But, and, you know, the Rams have done pretty well against the Seahawks the last few years as well. So I think it's going to be, if, you know, if we see instances of the Rams, you know, making stupid mistakes in games when they shouldn't, or, you know, just not playing up to the standard that they should be able to play, I think that's really going to be the biggest concern for me when it comes to winning the division.
Yeah, the only thing I'd say, obviously, that is correct what you're saying. You're, you know, you could ruin it for yourself, and it's down to you to win it. But 49ers, only the I say 49ers only purely because Seattle always seems to be that team that's good in our division consistently. But we've always seen, even in the Jeff Fisher era, we always seem to have some luck against them. So that's what, so why I'm leading towards 49ers on that one, which I did pick up. We just mentioned earlier about watching games. I did watch a bit of Goffey against 49ers, and it was a bit of a late surge. I remember seeing your tweet, Tom, about it, I think, and I watched it the next day, and it was like, it was 5 minutes left in the day. I was thinking, when is this happening? And yeah, he had a comeback, all right, and he done all right. So I was pleased for Goff in that game. But so they showed a bit of a weakness, but it was late. But they also showed they could put 41 points on the board.
I think, I mean, that it was against the Lions, I think, is the thing to say there. I mean, the Lions weren't great, and I think, I mean, they weren't terrible on offense, but they had some, you know, some weaknesses on defense. They gave up a really long play to Deebo Samuel that, you know, I think it was a sort of 70 odd yard touchdown. You know, Garoppolo was pretty unthreatened throughout the whole game, put up a decent passer rating, wasn't really touched as far as I remember. So, you know, it's probably not a good basis of a game to judge them off. But, I mean, it's week one. We don't really know which teams are strong and which ones aren't at the moment, so it's hard to say.
Well, it's purely on the fact, I feel like Seattle, we always do quite well against Arizona, and 49ers will just probably beat us because of Tony. but last question, Glenn Jenkins, what do you guys think about Jalen Ramsey's new role in defense? By mixing it up, the offense now must look where Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey are playing each snap. It can only help, and he got 7 tackles versus Chicago. So I'm guessing that's a hint at where he'd normally be sort of on the island, wouldn't he, last season, and now he's moving around a bit more. Tom?
Yeah, I mean, generally, I mean, he did start to move around a little bit last season as well, but, you know, we saw it completely different against Chicago, you know, compared to last year. I mean, obviously, the offense would have been looking where he was in the first place. It's not like they didn't care where he was last year. But it is different now. I mean, we saw him sort of lining up almost at an outside linebacker spot at times against the Bears in this new star position that he's filling. And, you know, he can make the plays there. We saw it with, I think he had 2 or 3 tackles for a loss. You know, he always seems to be around the play and around the ball, which is what you want from your star player, rather than being sort of, you know, not necessarily out of the game on one side of the field, but it is easier to avoid them if they are stuck out on sort of the furthest player on one side of the field. You can just go the other way. So by moving him around, it makes it more difficult to avoid him.
Good stuff. That's all the questions, Tony.
Excellent. Well, I think that just about wraps us up. It has been week one. We finished the week with a win, as did every single team in the NFC West and every single team in the AFC West, proving yet again that West is best. So I'd like to thank Aaron for joining us this evening. Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you, Tony.
And I would like to thank Tom for making his debut on the podcast. Hopefully we'll see you again at some point in during the season as well. Thank you, Tom.
Thanks for having me. And yeah, I'll try and come back on later in the year.
Excellent. And thank you all for listening.